It is time for a second shot with George Dunn and Evan Newsom. Second shot, 2.5 shots.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the man with the plan, the George Dunn man. I am here today by myself. So basically, Devin had his little pup had some surgery, so he didn't feel up to doing the podcast today, which is totally, totally understandable. So instead, we are going to, this is definitely not a filler episode, I'm definitely still here, but basically I'm going to play an episode of my other podcast called Pod Improvement that I do with my friend Ryan, and basically it's just going to be that. I guess there's a little bit of context you need for this. This is probably, I think, the 8th or 9th episode of the first season. I think this is the first episode where we kind of get our footing, or an earlier episode of where we get our footing. But basically, we just kind of watch the show and we just talk about it. Re-listening to some of them, I'm like, oh, we just talk about literally everything that happens beat for beat. But I guess that's how else are you going to talk about a show? I don't know, whatever. But we have our little corners, like a conspiracy corner and Wilson watch and things like that. So if you're interested in our conspiracy corner, gets kind of long-winded, to say the least. But listen from episode 1 or just skip episode 1 because the audio is pretty awful in it. And just go to episode 2. But yeah, just listen to those and you can find the development of our conspiracy corner and slash our Wilson watch, because there's some long trails to follow that are like, if you jumped in season 4 of the X-Files and you're just like, what the fuck is happening? But yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna play that. So if you're interested, find it on we're on Audio Boom now, or, you know, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all that good stuff. So follow us on there or send us an email at podimprovementpod@gmail.com. I can't remember. It doesn't really matter. You know, one emails us anyway. But yeah, if you're interested in listening to more of that, subscribe, like, rate, review, all that crap. Just like this show. And we'll be back next week with, you know, something. I'm not sure what. Hopefully not another episode of Pod Improvement. But we'll be back, and we'll be talking about something that is super cool and definitely not Home Improvement. All right. I hope you guys enjoy it. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Pod Improvement, everybody's favorite toolhead house show. I'm George Dunn.
I'm one of the boys from K&B Construction.
He's just Ryan. and today we're going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 8, Flying Sauces. Oh, boy, I have a lot to say about this episode.
Yeah.
I'm actually very excited to talk about this one.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't been excited to talk about any of these episodes so far. And while anybody who's listening is probably like, why are you doing this podcast then? I ask myself the same thing every time we record.
Every morning when I wake up.
So it opens with tool time.
Are we going to get to the description?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Workers from the K&B construction site come and show how to cook using food tools. Brad and Randy convince Mark that he's adopted and then make up a story that everybody around him are aliens. To get back at the boys, Tim, Jill, and Mark dress up as aliens and scare him.
Yep, that's what happens. So yeah, this episode opens with tool time, and Tim showing some life hack esque things of like, oh, you're always hitting your thumb with the nail.
Life hack.
Put a bobby pin on the nail so you hold it so you don't have to, you can hold it without hitting your thumb. And he asks Al to do it. And Al is very obviously concerned. He does say, like, that's what the bobby pin is for, Tim, which is very funny. And Tim kind of, like, fakes him out and pretends he's going to, like, slam his finger or slam the hammer on his fingers. And he doesn't, which signals that this episode's going to be kind of pranky.
This episode's a wild one.
It doesn't hurt that this is the episode before the Halloween episode. Because next week is a Halloween episode. And I have a lot to say about that because I miss so much sitcoms doing Halloween episodes, regardless of how shitty they are. So this episode feels like a prelude to that. I don't even know what happens in that episode yet. But, Al says something about, or he's like, he flinches, and Tim says something like, what do you play, the cross or something?
I have that written down too, and I was trying to remember why he said that.
What the hell does that mean?
I have absolutely no clue what that means.
I don't understand. Like, is that supposed to be like a put down on people who play lacrosse as opposed to like football or something? Like,
I could see that. I could see Tim being like, oh, that's a high class yuppie sport.
I mean, for sure,
on my home,
lacrosse is absolutely a yuppie sport, but I mean, you get fucked up in that game. Like, you don't wear, you wear like what, shoulder pads? And
not
that's
as
it.
Much as you get effed up in football, because football is a man's game. Let's be honest here, and lacrosse is for children.
What's the one with the, is it like a marble ball? Is it high lie? It's not a marble ball, but it's like a really heavy thing.
And
thick.
The long banana looking thing? Yeah, it's high lie, I believe.
Because that's the one, just tangent, that's the one with they do in Jackass.
Yeah,
where
they
throw
they
oranges.
The citrus. That rules.
But I don't know why I always thought High Lie was about, or had like a marble ball. Like it was a really thick, hard, like almost like a pool ball.
Oh, that'd be so cool if it was.
Because that shit's going at like 100 and some miles an hour. Sorry, that's a total tangent.
Let's talk about High Lie. This is the Tool Time High Lie podcast.
Yes.
I'm Ryan. That's George.
So then we get to they basically they're going to go to their mailbag, and they say that a group of workers have gotten tired of eating cold food out of a metal tin. And that they've actually started to make their own hot food using construction equipment. And that they're going to bring them onto the show.
This definitely violates safety regulations on construction sites.
100%. And, like, health code violations and
OSHA violations. Yeah, so many things.
Because, I mean, they're like, we're riveters and you're fucking playing with a blowtorch. We'll get into that. And Tim says, stay tuned. So you can be cooking with more power. And that's the setup for this episode, really, in terms of the Tool Time stuff, which I feel like is closer to the A story than the other story.
Yeah.
The next story is probably a B story, but I think they're pretty balanced.
It was like, although it was like a 60-40.
Yeah. But I feel like the home stuff is definitely kind of backgrounded, if only because it feels embarrassing to even say this, but I feel like there was more production value in the home stuff, so they had to kind of cut back a little bit. But we cut to the house, and it's the boys watching an old movie, like an old sci-fi movie. And they're shouting to Tim, like, oh, Dad, you're going to miss it. They're going to suck the blood from this guy's brain. And the movie that they're watching is called Red Planet Death.
God, it sounds so cool.
And, like, the sounds they're, like, playing on the TV sound like a mixture of, like, sort of like R2-D2 and a Dalek. And I was like, God, I'd watch the fuck out of this movie.
Yeah, seriously.
I still, to this day, I do not believe for a second that Tim is a sci-fi guy.
Oh, no way.
I don't care how
absolutely
gross
no
or
way.
Crazy. Like, that implies that he likes RoboCop. And
well, he might like RoboCop because RoboCop RoboCop takes place in Detroit, and you know he's gung-ho about Detroit, so he may have been like, "Oh, Detroit, RoboCop."
He probably likes RoboCop, but doesn't understand that's a satire.
Yeah,
he doesn't understand
the
it's a comedy.
Should actually be like that.
Yeah, that's honestly, unfortunately, probably true.
Kill everyone.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
So we cut. They keep going with that. It's really a whole lot of nothing. Tim's gonna make a chili for the show. He's got a bag of jalapenos that is
like
is
a 20-pound bag.
Large. And he's gonna make his. I had to stop this and write this whole thing down. He's gonna make his rootin' tootin' chili, and Jill has to stop and say, "I don't know about the rootin', but there'll be plenty of tootin'." And I'm just like, it's the greatest joke of all time.
Oh my god!
My
Jill
grandma
makes a fart joke.
It's the best. I absolutely guarantee. I've probably watched this episode with my grandparents, and my grandma wouldn't stop laughing for about 25 minutes.
That's a really like hardcore like old person joke.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, tootin'.
Because rootin' tootin' in itself, like, just people already laughed at the fact that he said rootin' tootin'. And then you just, like, you said it again? I don't know. And then Brad and Randy are going to the park. Mark asks if he can come. They say no, he's a nerd. and Jill makes them go, or makes them let him go. But they leave anyway. And Mark goes up to his room to play with his trucks.
I'm glad they mentioned this later, because I thought it was really funny how they literally waited for like 3.5 seconds and then left.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that.
Well, I just thought that was funny how they did that. And I was thinking, like, did they do that on purpose? Or was that like unintentionally? Like, oh, they just left. And then they bring it up later, like, you waited 5 seconds. And mm-hmm. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah. So Tim and Jill's like, oh, that's not fair. It's not cool. We'll have to sit down and talk about how they hurt Mark's feelings. And Tim's like, no, you got to get revenge on them. We're gonna make this cauliflower, put it in the chili, and say it's rat brains.
No, it was bunny brains.
Was it bunny brains?
Bunny brains. Because okay. he said some comic, or not comic, some like cartoon bunny, like he said something and then like threw it in the chili.
Okay. I thought that, honestly, if I were a kid, that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah,
especially around
dope.
Halloween. Like,
you
fuck
could
yeah.
bring Wilson over because you know
I mean,
he'd eat some.
I don't like cauliflower, so that would suck.
Yeah,
but
it'd
like,
be all moist and soft.
It'd be good. Even worse.
It'd be good. It'd have flavor soaked into it.
Sorry, I'm not vegan, Ryan.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I don't care.
So then we cut to... I'm sorry. So they come back, and Brad and Randy are sitting down being told, you know, you hurt your feelings and stuff like that, and you can't do that. Tim says don't do that as well, and Randy brings up Tim's younger brother, Uncle Steve. So Steve Allen.
That's like the most generic name I've ever
heard. No. Conspiracy corner number one
oh,
for
Oh, hell yes.
Of putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Serious crap.
You don't know who Steve Allen is?
Not off the top of my head.
Steve Allen is an insanely famous comedian from, well, not insanely famous, but like he was a very famous, silly comedian from like the 60s and 70s. He was on, he was on The Simpsons a bunch. And he was very sardonic. He was kind of like Letterman before Letterman. So Tim Allen, or no, wait, what is his last, is his name?
His real name
Taylor.
Is Tim Allen.
So in the Home Improvement universe, in the ghost Home Improvement universe, he's Tim the Toolman Taylor. But there, the ghost Tim Allen, took the time and the ego to say, yeah, I'm the son of Steve Allen. Steve Allen's my little brother. he's nothing to me. I'm the Alan.
I thought you were going with like, oh, this is a little like subtle wink nod at an old comedian, not like fuck
no,
piece of shit.
It's absolutely fuck Steve Allen. I'm the good one.
Hell yeah, that rules.
I'm the comedian now. I'm the one on ABC making that Disney money.
I'm so into that.
Because unfortunately, Tim Allen was definitely more successful than.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
No,
we wouldn't
true.
Have gotten Home Improvement with this Steve Allen character.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Oh, it's so good to me. So yeah, that's my conspiracy corner.
Okay, I've got one coming up.
I think I do too.
I'm not going to let you get to it first.
I'll let you get it. So then we cut to the basement.
All right, here's where my conspiracy corner is, just from the shot.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Serious crap.
Tim did 9/11.
So what you're referencing is very clearly the jet fuel in the basement. So Tim, this is unbelievable.
Why was it there?
Tim has an entire tub,
a giant blue
jug. Like the shit they use to like dissolve bodies in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Full of jet fuel.
Just labeled jet fuel in like little tape, white tape.
So he did 9/11.
Oh, absolutely.
So is this ghost Tim?
I didn't think this far into it. I was so excited about the thought of Tim Allen having something. No, I've got it. Tim Allen, not Tim the Toolman Taylor. Tim Allen himself did or was responsible or had some part to do with 9/11. And this was him trying to just like leave the little clues on the way. Because this is 1991, 10 years before 9/11. And we all know jet fuel can melt.
When was the
beams.
World Trade Center bombed in the 90s?
I don't know. 93? Who gives a shit? That one doesn't matter. I'm talking about when the planes, I put air quotations above that because that didn't happen.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
The planes crashed into those buildings. Tim Allen was responsible for that, and I think he should pay the price, the ultimate price.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
I mean, our fearless leader has spoken. So
why? Getting back to, on track. Why the fuck does Tim the Toolman Taylor have jet fuel in his just sitting in his basement for anyone to
you don't know the
touch
answer to
and
this?
Play with? No.
More power.
Well, I mean, obviously, but like, how does one acquire jet fuel? Does he go to the jet fuel?
He's a very
well-off
white man in Detroit.
Yeah, good point. He probably just was like, "Oh, hey, I'm white," and then the airplane people are like, "All right, come on in, sir."
Yeah, I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean, so obviously he has the jet fuel, like for more power or whatever. You know, like it's not like You say he did 9/11.
No, I think
I feel like he's a hobbyist. I feel
no,
like
no, not Tim the Toolman Taylor.
He took the jet fuel from the set of Home Improvement.
My conspiracy is he was aware that he was going to blow up the buildings in 2001, and this was his way of leaving little clues. Because you know, like serial killers and stuff like to toy with the
this is a Zodiac kind of thing.
So he's like, hey, see that jet fuel? You're going to remember this in 10 years when my good friend Alex Jones talks about it.
It is 10 years to the day.
Yeah.
September 2001 or 1991.
Yeah.
Or no, this is October. I'm sorry. So 10 years and give or take.
9 years and 11 months.
So they're in the basement and Tim's just going through his old stuff for seemingly
I was
no
so
reason.
Pissed about this.
It makes no sense. Like he has like a strobe light and then his 8-track of Indigata Davida. Which is literally only there to set up the ending.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this 5-minute scene.
Which didn't, like, you could have gotten away with not having it. It doesn't need to be set up. It's already ridiculous. Because they don't set up Jill's eyes or teeth. Like, I mean, it's not like.
It's because Jill doesn't matter.
Well, Jill has her own little set of quirks here in this episode. Like, she knows, like, apparently the gear and artist of every pop song that no one gives a shit about.
This made me so mad. Like, I think they realize, like, oh wait, we haven't like given Jill any sort of personality other than she likes Madame Butterfly. So she knows songs. That's her personality. She knows songs.
But, I mean, 1991 pre-internet, that's kind of impressive, and especially she knows it right off the top of her head.
I guess.
I mean, they're songs no one gives a fuck about, but like fine. And it got a DeVita's fine. ELO is cool. I like ELO.
ELO owns.
So I mean, she's got. I mean, but it's character work for her. It's something. I'll take it. You know, like it's something other than she wants a job and likes opera. Like that's because that's literally all it's been so far for 8 episodes. But so that's really it. It's just there. It sets up that he has this stuff for later in the episode.
It also sets up that Tim fucks. Because they really hammer that down, like, oh, if you know this song, you're gonna get it. I guess it does set up
Jill saying, do you know the name of the first song we slow dance to? And he says all these things, like, touch me in the morning. He's like, well, I'll touch you in the afternoon if you can answer the question.
Hell yeah.
So Tim has to figure that out, too. So technically, there is a kind of a C story.
Tim's brain's working extra hard in this one.
Yeah, Tim's got a lot to do in this one. But yeah, then they cut to the kids playing in the yard. Brad and Randy clearly haven't learned their lesson. Mark's coming out trying to play with them, and they say no, and they're tossing a football just to each other.
Over like a 3-yard span.
Yeah, it's very Room-esque. and so Mark says, Mom said you have to be nice to me. She's like, well, she's not a real mom. And I'm like, oh, God, are they going to bring back, what's his name again? That whole story about how they're, like, adopted or he's adopted or whatever.
Oh, my God, I wish.
And then he's like, no, we're aliens from another dimension or another universe or whatever. And he says their names are Zelnot, and Brad says his is Zortan.
Those are cool names.
Which is so close to Zordon. I was very mad. And basically, they're like, oh, Mom and Dad are also aliens, and you have to walk backwards so we don't suck the blood out of your brains. Which, I mean, I get Mark's a kid. He's young. He's whatever.
He's a fucking idiot.
He is an idiot because he was also watching that movie where they suck blood from brains.
Maybe he is like, the attention span and, like, the memory of, like, a puppy. And so, like...
I mean, he is basically a puppy in the show.
He will watch things, and, like, 30 seconds later, he has no memory of them whatsoever.
I never remember watching the show. JTT's a fucking dick, dude.
Yeah, he's
like,
a little asswipe.
I remember him being, like, the golden child of this show, but he is not. He's a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Zachary Ty Bryan, he can go burn in hell. Like, he sucks. He's always sucked.
He still sucks.
Yeah, and even, what's his name who plays Mark is, like... He grew up to be like he just looks like a worm with eyes.
He looks
like
a bug.
Yeah, he does. But like JTT, I mean JTT didn't age well either.
He's the ringleader of their little bullshit.
Yeah, he's a
Brad's just the gullible little hanger on.
Yeah. JTT is like way too cool for school.
Stringing on to JTT's success like he's trying to do now with Tim Allen and his conservative values.
Yeah. Then so it's basically it's just a lot of that. They're fucking with Mark again and whatever. And it's like, then it cuts to Mark walking backwards into the door.
This was really funny to me. I laughed at this.
Yeah, and I mean like, so Tim's cooking and he's got like a Hail to the Chef, like
super chef.
He's wearing like rubber kitchen gloves and stuff like that. It's like it's okay.
He throws
sitcom-y.
5. Full peppers, jalapeno, I'm assuming, just into his chili. Doesn't cut them up, just throws them right in.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
What is his thought process there?
There isn't any. I mean, that's what he says earlier in the episode.
Oh, good point.
So Jill sees this, shows the back of her head, and says, do you see any lips? And Mark replies, not really. Not really, in the back of your head. Like, it's a yes or no question. Are there lips or not? Not really. Like, what is in the back of her head?
I like what Tim says in response.
Well, that's, yeah. Tim
was on fire in this scene.
So, yeah, Tim says, when you wake up, sometimes you wake up early in the morning and you're, and then she just cuts them off. He does it twice. It's kind of funny. It's
hilarious. Make fun of Jill. That's what this show should have been.
Yeah, fuck just Jill.
24 minutes of making fun of Jill.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
So I feel like it would have been funnier if Tim just said, well, he's got a point, or, you know, whatever, like, whatever.
Well,
it
he does
matter.
Say that. When he walks in the room backwards, they're like, why are you walking like that? And he's like, to prevent you guys from sucking the blood out of my brain. And then Tim's like, oh, that's a good idea. Or he says something like,
yeah,
a good
no,
point.
That actually, it is funny. See, the thing with, like, those kind of jokes in sitcoms is I don't like when characters make jokes. You know what I mean? Like I don't like when a character finds the joke funny.
Yeah.
Like what Tim said, I think he was joking. But if he were honest and he were like genuine, he's like, well, that's actually a pretty good point.
Is that stupid?
Like, yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I mean, if you're going to do it, double down on it, you know, like,
I get it.
But then we cut back to, tool time. And this is where the episode really starts to shine.
These guys are like some of my favorite characters.
As soon as I saw Pete, I got a real warm feeling in my chest.
He is amazing. Pete, I love Pete Bilker.
Is the best. I literally just wrote down Pete, and then the quote of, it's like him growing the beard for Al, because Al is his hero.
I wrote Pete Bilker owns.
He's the best. He's so genuine and dumb. He's exactly what I love about the Fast and Furious franchise.
He's like a big teddy bear. You just want to hold and cuddle. And
so... this episode of Tool Time is about teaching people different ways that they can cook on the job site with construction tools, which is very illegal, like we said, and whatever. There are some good jokes in here, though. Like, one guy's teaching him grilled cheese, how to do it on a patching trowel.
A good-looking grilled cheese.
I'd eat it.
It had like a pound of butter on it.
If you're literally fucking like 30 stories in the air and you got nothing else to eat,
why would
you? Absolutely.
How would you get away with that from your foreman? Like, he has to see you carrying up a
loaf
of bread.
He's absolutely the foreman.
And cheese. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing, you idiot? You're not taking bread up 30 stories, you moron.
You're going to take a sandwich up there. What's the difference?
Yeah, because the sandwich is pre-assembled, and it's pre-packaged, and it's made.
If you just pre-package the meat, or the cheese, and the bread, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but the butter might melt by the time you get up there, unless you have it in your...
It's margarine. They even call it oleo or something like that.
Whatever,
like,
dude.
But he makes it on a patching trowel.
I mean, it was pretty cool.
He's like, we use pure Wisconsin cheddar, because in Wisconsin, cheese is cheese. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. This is fun. Like, there's some like real energy and life in this episode. And I love it.
They seemed excited when they were filming it.
Yeah, because like the audience is loving it. They're loving that the audience is loving it. We do have I still don't have a song for the Benford Files. So
did you notice when they cut to the audience real fast? There was a guy in the audience who looked just like Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. And I laughed really hard at that.
I did notice that one of the guys looked like what's his name from Queen?
Oh, I didn't notice this.
The lead singer of Queen.
Freddie Mercury.
He's got the mustache and everything.
I just saw a guy with long hair and like big pedophile glasses and a hat. And I was like, oh, that's Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. Cool that Freddie Mercury was there too.
I feel like Jay Maskus absolutely would have been on the set.
Oh, he totally would have.
But yeah, we have a Bedford. It's real casual, so I'll just do. But yeah, so we have the Benford 3000 turbo ignition switch torch, which is what he uses to basically burn his bread.
That's all he did.
But yeah, they cut to, I don't remember the other guy's name.
Dwayne and Rock.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Maybe.
So he's showing how to make the shish kabili bob. with a dipstick. So all you have to do is wipe off the oil.
I'm glad they were grossed out by this as I was.
Yes. Yeah, Al's look of concern, his like genuine like,
he looked disgusted.
Are we gonna eat this? So they're showing how to add a yellow zucchini for color. and then it cuts to Pete showing the seasoning. And this is probably my favorite part of the episode, yeah. Where he's like, we're going to use tarragon.
Tarragon and sage.
Tarragon and sage. And he's like, I usually like to use rosemary. He's like, no, rosemary is far too harsh. And he cuts Pete off by saying, this is neither the time nor the place. And it's legitimately funny. Like, I laughed at it. Like, it was a really, really, really funny scene.
For a second, I was like, wait, are they a couple? Because the way they were bickering in that scene reminded me of a couple bickering.
That's like the whole dynamic of these characters from what I remember going on is like, especially Pete very clearly loves Al.
would have his child if he could.
I don't like him putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Serious crap.
So my conspiracy corner for this week is basically that Pete is full on swim fanning Al. I don't really have much else other than that right now, but like, he's absolutely been outside of his house, like just looking in his windows, because Pete is the best. And if you're going to be the best, you stalk the best. I just love Pete, God. And I love Al, and I will swim fan both of them.
Could you imagine an episode where, like, Al comes over to Tim's house concerned and Pete's just following him in his car with binoculars and, like, one of those directional mics?
Oh, for sure.
That would have been so funny.
He's like, Pete still, to this day, is following Richard Karn, TMZ style.
He was in every episode of A Family Feud in the audience.
So Tim eats this shishka Billy Bob. He says it tastes like WD-30 because WD-40 is an actual brand, and you can't
copyright.
Yeah. So then it cuts to the house. And basically, Tim and Jill have decided to help Mark with revenge. For whatever reason, all the boys are wearing robes.
I put that down too. Why are they all wearing robes?
It's very weird.
I was so creeped out by that. They look like.
I feel like if you
thing.
Cut out that basement scene. And added a scene of the setup of this scene, it would have worked better. But regardless, they're all going to... The idea is that Brand and Randy are going to trick Mark and make him think that their parents are being taken away or whatever's going to happen there. When in actuality, Jill and Tim are going to scare Brad and Randy with the help of Mark. And the whole thing is just Tim's wearing a suit, like a gray suit with Christmas tree lights on it and his blowtorch mask. He turns on Indigata DeVita with the strobe light. And then Jill sits up with a really cool, like, glowing lights and glowing teeth. I'm like, that's the shit I'm all about with these kind of shows and their Halloween episodes.
Gags, man.
Well,
gags.
It's gags, but it's like they're lit so poorly. But they still genuinely try to make it like haunted house level creepy.
Yeah.
There's something about like the inability to actually pull off something where he's like, but also wanting, like trying to find that middle ground between scary and funny. That's just so middle of the road that it ends up being nothing. I love it. I love it so much. I love to laugh at it. It feels so, it's like chicken noodle soup to me. Like it's just like, it feels so comforting. I love it so much. And we'll talk about it with the next episode, assuming that the next episode is actually any good. We cut to the basement again. Tim turns on a song. Harry Nilsson's Without You. That's the song they slow dance to. So obviously Tim's going to fuck tonight.
I was really, really, cause they kept saying, he was like, oh, I'm the master tormentor. Now I'm the master rememberer. And I kept hoping that Jill would say something like, well, you better not screw it up or you'll come the master baiter.
Yeah. I mean, that's not very ABC.
Well, they could have been on the cutting edge.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, these boys won't be tormenting or teasing anybody anytime soon, and they all come down with masks. Like, just like the cut is really weird. Yeah, and then they just dance, and then post credits is just them dancing to Indigo De Vida,
just
in their the costume under the spotlight and stuff. It's whatever.
I turned it off.
Cool. It's like Indigo De Vida.
Could have had more Tool Time gags.
Indigo De Vida is a perfect 6-minute song to listen to for 30 seconds. And then that's the episode. What do you think of this one?
I got a lot of amusement out of the K&B boys, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing them reappear.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited. This is my favorite episode by far so
far. Yeah, I'd say so.
I wouldn't say it's a good episode, but it's...
The bar is low.
Easily the best episode so far.
Yeah.
The Harry Houdini stuff was fun, but like this is where I know the show kind of goes... And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it found like its footing in this one.
A
lot of
is
tool
like,
time, a lot of gags.
Yeah, more tool time, less like stories about nothing.
Yeah.
Like, just if you're going to make the story, make it about like some crazy, ridiculous stuff. Gags, goofy stuff, just like make it a cartoon. And that's what it should be. And I think it kind of goes into for the most
part.
And yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this episode. I don't have much else to say. There's no Wilson in this episode.
Yeah, the first episode
so far. Yeah, it's the first episode. I would say I have his conspiracy corner, but I don't think it's a half baked one, so I'm not gonna get into it.
No, we've got like 8 already this episode.
Yeah, it's true. But Tim did do 9/11.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.